Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Megillah Daf Chafav. We're holding at the new Perek, which is towards the bottom of Chafay Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, B'nei Ha'ir, city dwellers, Shemachru Ruchay Vashalir, who happened to sell their city square. And Rashi explains, two lines from the bottom, Yesh by Kedusha, a Ruchayva Shel Ir contains Kedusha. Kedemefarsh by Gemara, as the Gemara by us will explain, why? Hoyel umispalin boy betanios ubimamodis. On certain occasions, they actually daven out in the town center, out in the city square, during fast days, etc., and therefore, that mokim has some Kedusha. And when you sell off that property, you have to take the money received in exchange for that property and upgrade it. Pick it up a notch. Use it to purchase something which has even more Kedusha. Rather than downgrading, than using that money for a non-Kedusha property or item. So, Bnei Yair Shemachru Rechayv Shalir, they sold off the Rechayv, the city square, which has some Kedusha. What do they do with the money? Loichen b'damah beis haknesses. It can only go up, rise to the next level. If they go up the ladder to the next level of kedusha, use it to purchase a beis haknesses, which of course contains more kedusha than just a city square, which is used occasionally for tefillah. Beis haknesses is a permanent makim tefillah, so it's considered an upgrade. Beis haknesses. Should they decide to sell the beis haknesses in the city, once again they have to upgrade. Loikhin teva. You have to take that money and purchase a Aron Kodesh, which houses the Sefer Torah itself. So that's considered something which has more Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. Teva, should they sell the Aron HaKodesh, loikhin mitpaches. They can only use it to purchase something which is higher than the Teva. The mitpaches, those materials used to wrap the Sefer Torah, what we call the mantle. Mitpaches, they sell the mitpaches, yichus farm. They have to go up to the next level, upgrade, purchase svarim, which Rashi says on Nevi'im Uksuvim. Svarim, if they sell the Nevi'im Uksuvim, like in Torah, they can only go up to the next level, which is the actual Sefer Torah. So the point is, malin b'kodesh, you always upgrade in matters of Kedusha. You take something which has a lesser degree of Kedusha, and use it to buy something with a higher degree of Kedusha. Aval, but you can't go down. Im machru Torah. Should they have decided to sell a Sefer Torah itself, they can't take the money and purchase something less. They can't purchase Nevi'im Uksuvim, which is something less Kaddish than a Sefer Torah. Svarim, they sold Nevi'im Uksuvim, they can't use it to purchase the ornamental materials which address the Sefer Torah. Mitpaches, they sell the mitpaches, they can't use it to purchase the Aron HaKodesh, which is even further removed from the Sefer Torah. Teva, they sell the Aron HaKodesh. Lo yikhu beis haknesses, they can't use it to buy a shul. Beis haknesses, likewise, if they sell the shul, lo yikhu osay rechayv, they cannot use that money to purchase a rechayv, which is lower in stature than the shul itself. V'chein b'meistrein. The same thing applies to leftover money. Suppose they sell the shul and buy a Sefer Torah, and there's some funds left over. Even the Meisareya and the leftovers have to be directed at something of a higher Kedusha, because Malin Mekodesh, Ve'in Meridin, as Rashi will explain for us right now, we're on the top line of Rashi, Avo Machro Torah. So they have to go up, they can't downgrade. Why? Shemalin Mekodesh, Ve'in Meridin. We always upgrade in the matters of Kedusha, and we don't downgrade. What is the source of this halacha? Tesefta. Malin Mekodesh, Tachziv Ayokem, Moshe Es HaMishkan. Moshe assembled the Mishkan. Now, Bezalel Asa, who built it? Bezalel. Moshe, Shoyogadol Menu. Moshe, who is greater than him? Hakimai, he actually assembled the Mishkan. So you see that you go up from Bezalel to Moshe. So you know Malin Makodesh. What about Vein Meridin? Veloy Meridin. Tchsiv es Machtes, Achatom Eil ben Afshoysam. The Machtes, the shovels presented by the fellows who were involved in the Machlekas of Koirach, they took it. They took the machtes and used it for the mizbeach. They flattened them out and they made them tzipur l'mizbeach to coat the mizbeach ki krivim l'fnei Hashem ha'yikdoshu. So once it becomes kodesh, kivan shehugdeshu, we don't downgrade, we're not meirid, and therefore they have to use it for something of kedusha. V'chein b'moistrein machru svarim v'lokhu b'miksas al damim tir. It took a tanach. And they use it for a Torah. And there's some leftover money. Even those leftover funds cannot be directed at something with a lesser Kiddush. Says the Gemara, so the Mishnah indicates that a Ruchayv Shalir has some Kiddush. Amar Rabba Barbachana, Amar B'Yechanan, Zu Divri Rabbi Menachem B'Rabbi Yosi Stumta. This happens to be the Shita of Rabbi Nachman Yosi, who Rebbe happened to word his Mishnah in line with. It was in line with this Shita. A Stam Mishnah, anonymous Mishnah, stated according to Rabbi Nachman's Shita. But it's a Das Yachid. It's not the prevalent opinion. Ava Chacham Oimrim, HaRuchayiv Ein Bo Yishim Kedusha. No, a Ruchayiv has no Kedusha. It's just a street. And therefore, if you sell the Ruchayv, you're not restricted at all with what you can do with those funds. Asks the Gemara. So what's his Shita? Rabbi Nachman Bar Yosi, my time, why does he maintain the Ruchayv as Kedusha? Answers the Gemara. Hoyel va'am espalun boy. But Taniyos, Ma'amodos, since on occasion, Taniyos and Ma'amodos, and some actually take out the word Ma'amodos, so sometimes they daven out in the street, and therefore it has some Kedusha. Although it's not a permanent place of tefillah like a shul, it's considered one notch lower, but it's still has kedusha. That's his opinion. V'rabbanan, who disagree with this, they hold hahu akroi ba'alma. That's an occasional event. It doesn't give kedusha to the ruchayv, and therefore, a ruchayv is not considered a makom of kedusha at all. Beis haknesses loichin teva. They sell the shul. You take the money to purchase an urin kodesh. The Mishnah indicates you can sell a shul. The Bnei here have the authority to sell a Beis HaKnesses. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar B'Yenison, Leishano, this is only said by a small-time shul, Ela Beis HaKnesses Shel Kfarim. The Beis HaKnesses, in a village, it's their own private property, they can sell it off if they wish to do so. Aval Beis HaKnesses Shel Krachin, but if it's a Beis HaKnesses that belongs to a large city, it's different. Kiva de me'alma osule, since it was built with the intent to have it serve the rabbim, all those who visit the city for business, come to the market, loy motzu mazabnele. So the members of this city, members of the shul, don't have the authority to sell off the shul. It's not really theirs anymore. Why? Davli de rabbim. It's considered like a public. A communal asset belongs to the rabbin, belongs to the world, belongs to all Jews in the world, because it was meant to serve them. So they can't even sell it. Amar Rav Ashi, I have an exception to this halacha. Hai beknishta de mata machasya, the shul in my town, mata machasya, afagav de ma'alma asala, even though it's frequented by many, many Jews who come from out of town. Here it's different. Kiva da adata de dika asu. Since they're coming with me in mind, they know I'm the Rav of the city, and he's the supreme authority in town. Here it's different. If I wish, I can sell it. Because he was an absolute authority. The shul was built, and is used, and is visited, knowing full and well that he's the supreme authority in town, and therefore it's considered up to him whether or not to sell it. Meis we're going to have a kasha on Rav Yenison's chiddush. That a Beis HaKnesses shall krachem, since it's used by all the international visitors. It has a din of a communal Beis HaKnesses. It belongs to the Klal Yisrael at large, and is not within it's not within the ability of the locals to sell it. Listen to this kash. Meisvi, a Rabbi Yehuda, Masa Beis HaKnesses shall terseim. There was a shul belonging to copper miners, terseim. Shai Bishalayim, it was their private shul. Shemachru al Rabbi Lezer. One day, he decided to sell off the asset. He sold it to Rabbi Lezer, v'asa b'chatzrochav, and used it for his purposes. Became his private property. It's a shul in Yerushalayim. You don't get a more public city than that. And how could they sell a shul in a krach? Isn't this a kasha on our halach? Answers the Gemara. That was a small shtibel, a small shul, even though it was in Yerushalayim. But since it was small in size, it was not meant to serve the public at large. They built it. It was their personal, their local shul. So notwithstanding the fact that it was in Yerushalayim, which is a Mokim Rabim, but this particular property was not visited by many, and therefore it never acquired this new status of this communal type of status. It was considered their own private property, in which case they can sell it to Rabbi Elazar. Meisvei, here comes another kash. Pasuk says, "Bebeis eretz achuzaschem." You come to Eretz Yisrael, you find a nega in the beis eretz achuzaschem, a place which you inherit, a house found in territory allocated to the Shevatim. And we learn achuzaschem mitami benegoyim. Only a nega found in that type of territory can potentially become tami with a nega. Ve'en Yerushalayim mitami benegoyim, but not Yerushalayim. You know why? Tanakama holds. Yerushalayim was left open. It was never allocated to any Shevet. It's a communal city. It belongs to all of Yisrael. And therefore, it's exempt from Negoim. It's not a Chuzask. Amar B'Yuda, ani lo shamati. I only heard about the Beis HaMikdash. Ela mokim mikudash bovad. Ela mokim mikdash bovad. Famaya Rebeim, I only heard about the Beis HaMikdash. That's exempt from Nega. Rashi explains. The Pasuk says, Ba'asha loy habayis. It needs to be my private home. Beis HaMikdash is not anyone's private asset. And therefore, Beis HaMikdash is exempt from Hilchos Negoim. Oh, let's make a diyuk. We can imply from here, Ha, batei nesiyos, batei midrashos, shuls, batei midrashos, mitamin. They potentially can have a nega, right? Rabbi Yehuda only exempts the actual Beis HaMikdash, it's a Makam Kaddish, but a Beis HaKnesses in Yerushalayim, even though it's a international city, used by many, serving the public at large, you can have a nega. Amai, Hadikrach and Havu. Why do we say it's Metame B'Negoim? We're talking about a Beis HaKnesses in a large city, Yerushalayim. You don't get more public area than that. In which case, why? Why is it called Beis Eretz Achuzaschem? It wasn't really allocated to anybody. It's been designated for public use, for Klal Yisrael use. So a nega cannot apply in this type of situation. So according to Rabbi Yenison, the Rebbe Sakneses shall krach, has the din of Rabim. So why is the Rebbe Sakneses in Yerushalayim going to become Tamei B'Negoim, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Ema, let's revise the Braisa. Om Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati. I only heard that the following Mekaymes cannot have a nega. Ela mokim mikudosh b'levad. Not mokim migdash, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Any mokim that contains Kedusha. Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaKnesses, any mokim that has Kedusha is exempt from Nega. And this fits very well with our halacha. Even a shul in Yerushalayim is exempt because it's not Beis Eretz Achuzaschem. It's considered a communal asset since it serves Klal Yisrael at large. Okay, so back to our braisa here. Tanakama says, Yerushalayim is totally not Metame B'Negoim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Amokim Mekudosh, okay, but otherwise, the other houses in Yerushalayim can have a nega. Micah Mifflinger, what's the point of that machlekes? Tanakama Sarar, Loin Eschalko, Yerushalayim was Shvatim. Initially, Yerushalayim was never divided amongst the Shvatim. It remained a communal entity, Klal Yisrael's city, in which case it's not called Beis Eretz Achuzaschem. There's no nega applied. Rabbi the Sovereign is Chakal Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. He disagrees. Yerushalayim was also allocated, divided amongst the Shvatim. It's considered Achuzaschem. So technically, it's metame ben goyim, except for the mokayim mikudesh, as we explained, which is not considered to have been allocated because it belongs to Klal Yisrael. Ubeplukta dehani tanoi. And this question of whether or not Yerushalayim was divided amongst the Shvatim is actually connected to another machlokes as well. We find elsewhere that there's machlokes between Tanoim in this regard. Desanya, maho yibachalkal she Yehuda. So firstly, it's clear from this Tanakama here that Yerushalayim was divided. He's asking, which part of Yerushalayim belonged to Yehuda, which part to Binyamin? Maho yibachalkal she Yehuda, harabayis. So going from east to west, you have the Harabais, the empty area of the Harabais, Halishkois, Va'azoris, the chambers, the Azoris, Ezrus Noshim, going up to Ezrus Yisrael, further west is Ezrus Kehanim. All that was in Shevet Yehuda's territory. Umahoye b'chalkel she Binyamin, which part of the Beis Hamidash was situated in Binyamin's territory? Ulam, Beheichel, Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. So proceeding further to Ma'arav, to west, we have the Ulam, the Heichel, all the way to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now what about the Makom HaMizbeach? So for the most part, the Mizbeach was situated on Chelek Binyamin. But there was a small sliver, a small strip of land upon which the easternmost portion of the Mizbeach was meant to be situated. Actually, the yisoid, the foundation, because on the bottom of the mizbeach you had a yisoid, a protrusion. It would stick out an arm. That was called the yisoid. So on the eastern side of the mizbeach, right, coming from the front of the Beis Hamikdash, as was Nashim, as was Yisrael, as was Kahanim, and when you meet that mizbeach on the eastern side, there was a strip of land which ran all along that eastern border of the mizbeach. Uratzua, this strip, it left Yehuda's territory. It was a protrusion out of Yehuda's territory, and protruded into Binyamin's territory. For some reason, Hashem divided land this way, that this strip came from Yehuda into Binyamin's chelek, upon which the mizbeach should have been built, meaning it was the makom mizbeach. It was actually just the slot where the yisoid, where the eastern foundation, so to speak, that protrusion, that ama protrusion coming out of the mizbeach, that extension was meant to have been situated, and that was actually chelkel shel Yehuda, and the rest, of course, was Binyamin, meaning going further, going forward towards Marav, towards west, upon which the mizbeach was actually built, was part of Binyamin's territory. And actually, as Rashi brings from the Gemara that Maseches Bachim, that actually, because of this phenomenon, there was no Yisoid on that side, because Tosis brings that the entire Mizbech is meant to be on Binyamin's territory. B'chalkel shel Teref, Binyamin Zev Yitrov, it's a pasuk, so it has to be on Binyamin's territory. And since this piece of land, this strip belonged to Yehuda, so they left out. They didn't actually build a Yisoid on that side. So technically, the entire Mizbeach was on Binyamin's territory. But there was a little strip that sort of interfered. Mizbeach could have been on that place as well. At least the eastern Yisoid should have been there. Binyamin HaTzadik mitzdar le b'chol yom lebala. Binyamin HaTzadik foresaw this ahead of time with Ruach HaKodesh. And he was upset. He was mitzdar. He was in distress. Every day he was davening. He wanted to sort of swallow up that strip of land so that it's incorporated in his territory, so that it has a full mizbeach on his territory. Shenama chayfif olav kal yayim, like a person scratching his head and in distress. Because of that mesiras nefesh, because of that desire, lefichach zocha Binyamin v'nasa u'shpizchan l'shchina, Binyamin was zayich, that indeed he became the host for the shchina, meaning the urn was placed in his territory in the Kodesh HaKadosh. In any case, it's clear from this brisa that Yerushalayim was divided. Part to Binyamin, part to Yehuda. And this is in line with our Tanakhama earlier. With Rabbi Yehuda earlier. That Yerushalayim was Neschalak L'Shvatim. V'hai Tana, but the following Tana holds, Sovar Loi Neschalak L'Shvatim. It was not divided amongst the Shvatim. It remained an international city with access to all. You're not meant to rent out homes in Yerushalayim. And Farshim explained, we're speaking during the time of Yom Tov. Everybody arrives to be Oyler Regal. They have rights. That's how the Nevi'im were Masakin. Sure, you can live in Yerushalayim, build a home, but you have to vacate. You have to allow, at least accommodate, Yisroel when they come visit Yerushalayim. It's their territory, like yours. But Pnei in Yerushalayim doesn't belong to the host, to the owner. It's not really yours. You have to accommodate all guests and visitors when they arrive for Yom Tov. Because it wasn't divided the Shvatim. It remained a communal city, international city. So sure, you can build and you can live throughout the year, but come Yom Tov, you have to be ready to have lots of guests. Rabbi Lezer would tell the Omer Afle Mitas, you can't even charge for your beds. That was all part of the Takana. The Fichach, therefore, ends off the Braisa. Oyer is Kachem. The various hides from various karbanis, which the guests would bring during Yom Tov. Who gets the hide? That's given as a bonus to the host. Balu Shpizen, the host, Neitlun Oysen Bezroya. They can forcefully take those gifts, so to speak. It was a special takana. Since they can't charge for accommodations, they get at least something. Amar Bayish Mamina, we learn from here that typically it's Oyrach Ara. It is Derech Eretz for any guest. Lemishbak inish, a person to leave over gulfa, his earthen containers, clay, a pitcher that he emptied out, or mashcha, or his hide that he has from his animal bushpize, to leave it over at the host. That's derech eretz, typically. Any guest should at least do that. Be a bit gracious and leave something over for the host. And therefore, based on that derech eretz, come oilel regel, we made it an absolute. We institute it as an absolute thing, which they can force the guests to do, because in this case, it's sort of rightfully theirs, for their tircha and exertion in accommodating their guests. Okay, so bottom line, we learned that Rabbi Yenison tells us a chiddush. When we speak about selling a shul, that's only if it's a small-time village, but a big-time city, which is used by all people, visitors and travelers, it's considered a makim rabim, which they can't even sell. We have one exception, Rav Ashi Amata Machasya, who is considered the supreme authority in town, and everything was given to his discretion. We had a machlokes, whether or not Yerushalayim was divided amongst the Shvat. Okay, so let's get back to the Halacha and our Mishnah. Amar Rav, Lo Yishanu. When do we restrict the use of money, which is received in exchange for something? You can only upgrade, you can't downgrade. That's only Elish Leimachru Shiva Tuveyayir. If this sale was not executed by Shiva Tuveyayir, they had some sort of a committee running the city, a city council, seven community leaders who were elected to this council, and they would run all matters in the city. So this concern, this halacha, that the money has to be allocated, directed at the higher Kedusha, that's only if the following didn't take place. It wasn't sold using this formal procedure. Shalom machru shiva tuva'ir, the seven tuva'ir were not involved in the sale, but ma'amar anshi'ir in the presence of the community. Aval machru shiva tuva'ir. But suppose the shiva tuva'ir were the ones who executed the sale, and they did it by ma'amar anshi'ir in the presence of the community. In this case, they're granted absolute authority. It's sort of like it's all up to them. The entire Kedusha, everything was given to them, was pending their decisions. And if they go ahead and they sell this property, be it a shul, whatever it is, then, well, speaking specifically about a shul, then it loses all Kedusha. Afilu lemish tavei shichra. You could take this money received in exchange for the shul and use it for beer. Lemish tavei shichra, to buy, drink beer with it. Shapi dami, that's also fine. So this is a gewaltig chiddush that the shiva tuva'ir have the power to release any kedusha to be mevatel the kedusha, so to speak, because all buildings, assets, properties in the city aren't there in their hands, and if they go ahead and they expropriate, they go ahead and they sell and they exchange that. Property now loses its value, loses its kedusha, loses its identity, and the money can be used for anything. Ravina havalei ahutila de beknisht. So in Ravina's property, there was this runes of a besaknesses. Tila means like a pile of rubble, runes of an old shul. He wanted to use the makim for planting, wanted to cultivate his property. Also commanded Rav Ashi. So he comes to Rav Ashi with a shayla. Amalei, he asks him, Ma'ol Mizra, can I go plant the tail of the Beis HaKnesses? Amalei, he tells him, Zil Zavne Mishuv Tuveir. Go ahead and purchase the old shul, the destroyed shul, from the city council, B'mamad Anshir, in the presence of the Anshir, in which case, V'zara, it loses its Kedusha, and you can go ahead and plant it. We had another story with Rami Bar Abba. Have a Kabani Be Knishta. He was building a new shul. Hava hi Knishta Tika. Now there was an old Beis HaKnesses nearby. Have a boy the mystery. So he was thinking of demolishing the old structure. Ulasuya Livni Ukshuri Mina. And to remove the building materials, the old bricks, Ukshuri, the old beams, Mina from the old structure, and use it for the new structure. But Yulul Hasam bring it to the new construction site. Yosef v'kamei boilei, he was sitting and contemplating. Yosef v'kamei boilei, hoder Rav Chisda. How do we understand Rav Chisda's halacha? Which halacha? Dabar Rav Chisda. Loilister ben knishta. One should never destroy an existing Beis HaKnesses. Ad bani ben knishta achrit, until he builds a new one. That's the halacha. Don't take chances. First build a new one, and then demolish the old ones. What is the reason for this? Is the concern perhaps negligence? They might destroy the old one, never get around to building the new one. Is that the reason? And if so, what about in this case, where I'm simply transferring material? There's no room for negligence. I'm actually involved in the building of the new shul as I'm demolishing the old one. So perhaps here we can be lenient. Also, commit to our papa. So he came to our papa and asked him the question. V'asrele, he didn't allow it. He came to Kamedir Rav Huna, v'asrele, he didn't allow it. So perhaps even in this case, there's always a concern of negligence, postponement. Who knows how long it's going to take to get the new shul up and going. There's another svara, which is actually brought in Baba Basra there. What are they going to do in the meantime? In any case, we know how construction works. It's not an absolute art and science. It can get delayed, weather, etc. So you never know, don't destroy the old one until you have the new one in place. Amarov, back to selling a shul. Hai Beis Knishta. They decide to sell a Beis HaKnesses. And actually, the Shitas Chachamim and Daf Chazayin is that when you sell the shul, the shul cannot be used for any purpose. It loses its Kedusha. Because the Kedusha of the shul gets transferred the money received in exchange for that shul. So that only works provided you got something in exchange. Chilufa, let's say they switched it for something else, for another property. Vizibuno, they sold it for money. Shari, then the shul now loses its kedusha because the kedusha got transferred onto the exchange. But a geruah, suppose they rent out the shul, umashkuna, or offered as a collateral, as a mashkin for a loan, in which case you haven't really received anything in exchange for the property also, then the Beis HaKnesses retained its Kedusha. My time of why? Because it retains its Kedusha. It was not transferred onto something else. Same thing with building materials. Livni Nami, bricks that were part of a shul. Chelufinu, their exchange, Vizavninu, and they're sold, Shari. Then the Kedusha expires. But Oizefinu, if they were just loaned out, also, it retains its Kedusha. Hanim Lubat Tikta. That's only when these bricks already used part of an existing structure, in which case they had Kedusha, Ava B'chalitav. Suppose they're brand new bricks, and they were simply prepared for construction of a shul. Well, that's Lamban. This case is no concern, because they never really had Kedusha. Now, Vafilu L'manda Amar, even according to the Shita, which is Shita Sabai in Sanhedrin, that has Mona Milsi. The Bachalik is Abai V'Rava. In the case of a person who prepares a tachricham for a mace, so he has ready-made clothing which he's going to use for the tachricham, for the shrouds for the mace. So they weren't actually used. They were just prepared. Hazmana. It's hazmana. It's designation. Enough to give it the kedusha, in the case of the mace, the iser, hana of the mace, or not. Abaye says, hazmana milsi. You have to reckon with preparation, designation. It gives it kedusha, gives it iser. Rabbi disagrees. Mere designation, preparation, is not considered. So back to the Beis HaKnesses. You have these brand new bricks, perhaps produced for the, Rashi says, they were produced in order to be incorporated into the shul construction, but never really used. It's just hazmana. The Gemara maintains, in this case, they have no kedusha. Now, how does this fit with that discussion over there between Abaye and Rabbi by hazmana? Says the Gemara, filum on the Omar hazmana milsa, even going to Abaye that holds that preparing something, designating something for the mace, taking this beged and saying, I'm giving this to the mace, has to be reckoned with. That gives it iser. It identifies with the mace. Ha'ane mili can go in ha'irik beged le mace. That's only the case where he produces a beged. He weaves the beged for the mace. So hazmana milsi. Avalacha, but in this case, where all we have are bricks. Now bricks are two steps away from the shul. A brick itself is not suitable for a shul. You have to first incorporate it into a building, and then you have a shul. So in its current form, it's not suitable to serve as a shul function, right? So in this case, all agree, hazmana is worthless. Avalach, in our case, ketavoy la'arug dami. It's like spinning threads, which will be used to weave a beged, which will be used for the mace. It's two steps behind. Velekelim on the Omar, all agree. There's no shita that holds spinning threads for the mace. Poses a concern. Here as well, bricks are not suitable in their current form for anything. All agree. It doesn't have kedusha at this point. What about matana? He gives a shul away as a gift. Or the bricks. He gifts them. So it wasn't a sale, it wasn't an exchange. Does it retain kedusha or loses kedusha? Machlekes. Pligibar of Acharavina. Machlekes between these two Amorim. Chad Asar, one says it's Asar, because he didn't receive anything in exchange for the brick. How could it lose kedusha? V'chad Shari, the other one says it's Mutter. Explains the Gemara. Man de Asar, b'hai tipka kedusha Asar. One that says it's Asar, very simple, because what procedure was applied which would remove the kedusha? You gave it away as a gift. You didn't get anything in exchange. Umando Shari, the one that says it's mutter, he holds, why are you giving a gift? Just for nothing? If not for the fact that he had some benefit from the recipient, he wouldn't give him a gift. So you got something in exchange. Although not right now, a while ago, but a gift is really another form of a sale. Hador Havali Matana Kizvini, we treat a matana like a sale. It's considered like he did a transaction. You got something then, you're giving him something now. And therefore, just as a zvini, as a sale, works. If you give it, you sell the shul, sell the bricks, the kedusha gets transferred. Here as well, a matana, even though at this very moment I'm not getting anything in return, but evidently you did get something. And therefore we treat it like a sale and it loses its kedusha. Ton Rabban, Tashmishe Mitzvah Nizrokin. Things that were used for mitzvah purposes, mitzvah accessories, mitzvah items, after use, a lulav after use, Nizrokin. You can dispose of them. Tashmishe Kedusha Nignazin. But Kedusha accessories, they have to be hidden, buried. You have to treat them with respect. Now in Halacha it's brought that even Tashmishe Mitzvah, even though the Halacha you can get rid of them, but it's better to take care not to be mevaza them, not to degrade them. Ve'elu hayin tashmishei mitzvah. What's considered tashmishei mitzvah? Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. So all these things were used for a mitzvah. But once the mitzvah was done, there isn't really a lingering effect on this item. And therefore, you can just be zerik them. There's actually a story of the Chacham Sofer, a famous story, that the two Talmidim who came to his yeshiva to take an entrance exam. And one was of a higher caliber, big Baal Kishron. The other one was nothing to write home about. He tested them both, and he sent them off, and eventually he accepted the Bachar of lower stature. And he explained himself. They asked him, what's going on? I mean, you had a genius there. Why'd you let him go? He said, I'll tell you what happened. On the way out, I was watching them through the window. Now, it was after Sukkot. So there were Sukkot boards or schach on the floor. And they were both approaching the fallen Sukkot, dismantled Sukkot. And I was watching to see what they're going to do. The smarter boy just walked right over it. Ignore the fact that it's a Chayfet Shal Mitzvah. He just walked right over it. And the other boy, he took care to walk around it out of deference and respect to the Chayfet Shal Mitzvah. So all Pi Halacha, it's okay, Nizrakin, but you see sensitivity. Sedech Sam Sefer, Hatzlacha and Ruchnis and learning isn't just a matter of brains. I saw that fellow had more sensitivity, more feeling for matters of Kedusha, matters of Mitzvah. I want him in the Yeshiva, and he took him, not the other one. So Tashmish and Mitzvah technically don't have Kedusha, but they're meant to be treated with respect. The fact that they serve for a Mitzvah. Ve'elo and Tashmish and Kedusha, which have to be Nignozin, the Luskme Svarim, a sack used to store Svarim. Svarim, we say Svarim, it means Nevi Maksuv. So this type of container, or a container of tefillin and mezuzos, v'tikshel sefer Torah, something used to hold the sefer Torah, v'nar tikshel tefillin, container for tefillin. So Rashi says, luskmi is amtachas, a sack. Tik, v'nar tik, also very similar to that. Says tik is a longer thing, and a nar tik is a shorter case. In any case, all these cases used to store sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah are considered tashmish and kedusha because they're accessories to something which is kaddish, a serving kedusha. Uritzu is saying, as well as the straps of these things, straps of tefillin, etc. Amar Rava, mereshav amina. Initially, I figured, hi kursaya. Kursaya is the platform, the bima upon which we read the Torah and the Beis HaKnesses. I had figured that how we're going to classify it. Tashmish to Tashmishu. It's not serving this Torah directly. It's serving something that serves the Torah. It's serving, therefore, it doesn't have Kedusha. Why? Because as Rashi explained, they would first place a mappa, some sort of cloth, on the bima, upon which they place the Sefer Torah. So since the bima was never serving the Sefer Torah directly, it's not considered Tashmish Kedusha. That's what I figured initially, given the Chazina. But then, once I noticed the Moisvis Eloya Sefer Torah, that sometimes they do place the Sefer Torah directly on the bima. So I changed my mind. Amina, now I figure Tashmish Kedusha Huva also is considered Tashmish Kedusha, serving Sefer Torah directly, and must be treated as such. But Amar Rav, Mreishav Amina, initially I figured High Prisa. What is a Prisa? Rashi explains. It's a yiriya, some sort of curtain, shepershin sviva sa'aron rifnim, which is hung inside the Aron HaKodesh. It's sort of adorning the Aron HaKodesh. So I figure Tashmish to Tashmishu. Once again, it's twice removed because it's adorning the Aron HaKodesh, which serves the Sefer Torah. So it in itself doesn't have Kedusha. But given the Chazina, but once I noticed the Eifile Yumanchi Sifra Aliyah. Eifile means they fold it over. Somehow they arrange the curtain in a way that they can place the Sefer Torah directly on it. Amina, now I realize Tashmish Kedusha Uva Asar, since it serves in that capacity as well, has then of a Tashmish Kedusha and must be treated with respect. V'Amar Rava, another halacha. Haitei Voisa, this is the Aron Kodesh, the earpod which is coming apart. So you want to dismantle it and use the boards for something else. Mi'abda tevas utrasi shorish. You want to take the large Aron HaKodesh and retool it into a smaller Aron HaKodesh. That's fine because they're pretty much doing the same thing. One is bigger, one is smaller. It's the same level of Kedusha. But kursaya aser. But to turn the Aron HaKodesh into a bima upon which they read the Torah, that's aser. And the Ran explains, because the bima only has occasional use during Kriyas HaTorah, a couple of times a week, and it's considered lower in stature than the Aron HaKodesh, which houses the Sefer Torah on a regular basis. That's a chiddush. Vamar Rav, hai prisa debala. So back to that prisa, that curtain hung inside the Aron HaKodesh, debala. Let's say it wore out. So what can we do with it? Lemeb de prisa lesafri, to turn into a material cover for a Sefer Torah. Sure, that's fine, because you're not really downgrading. It was serving a Sefer Torah, and it continues serving that capacity. But to turn it into a material which is going to house a chumash, that's aser. Now chumash here doesn't mean a printed chumash, it means a scroll chumash. Rashi says it's different than a Sefer Torah, which has all five sparim together. A chumash is only a fifth. That's what's called chumash, a chumash, a fifth. So it only has one of these svarim, and that's considered something of lesser kedusha than a Sefer Torah, of course, and therefore you can't divert this this prisa from a Sefer Torah to a chumash. Va'amarava, hai zvili. What about these storage containers, travel containers? The chumshi used for chumashim, the kamatri, the sifri, containers used to transport Sefer Torah. Tashmish kedusha nino, v'nignozen. They're considered something that serves. It's an accessory of a davar kadosh, and has the kedusha of a tashmish kedusha, and has to be hidden, has to be buried. Can't just be discarded of. Pshita says more. Of course, why would you think otherwise? It's serving a sefer Torah. It's serving a chumash. Ma'udatem. Perhaps I would think, hani lav l'kavod aviden. Oh, they're not meant to serve the sefer Torah in an honorable context. They're not trying to beautify the Sefer Torah. They're not adding kavod. It's just l'naturi ba'al ma'avid. They're meant to guard the Sefer Torah, to secure the Sefer Torah, to protect the Sefer Torah during travel or storage. And therefore, perhaps, it's not considered tashmish kedusha. K'mashmon, the chiddush says no. They are adding kavod, perhaps due to their elaborate design, etc. They're meant to add kavod as well. And therefore, they are considered, they're not just considered storage containers, they're considered tashmishe kedusha. Hahu bei knishta, there was this shul, the Yudai Ramai, which was built and used by Roman Jews who came to Babel. They made their own community, their own shul. What happened to that shul? That was pasiach, so the main sanctuary was opened, lahu and druna, to this hallway, this alleyway. Dava machis bei meis. So in this side room, there was a mace. V'havu boi ka'ani l'meil etzli hosam. Ka'ani wanted to come enter the shul and daven. But they couldn't because the tumah, the next room, spreads into the shul. So how do we block off the tumah? Also, Amr le'i l'rabba. They came to the rabba and they asked him what to do. Amr le'i, he tells him, look, dalu tevusa. You can pick up the Aron HaKodesh with the Sefer Torah, a svua, and roll it over to that, you know, that entranceway, and block off the entranceway to the side room. Apparently, it's not called a diversion. It's not called downgrading the Aron HaKodesh because it's just a quick temporary use. It's not considered a true redesignation. So that would be mutter, and that would block the tumah from entering the shul. Why? The haveli kli eitz asa lenachas, because this Aron HaKodesh is a wooden kli, and it's meant lenachas, to remain in place, to remain stationary. Right? It's not meant to be moved around with the sefer Torah. It's too heavy for that. So the halach is that in such a case, this type of kli, which is not meant to be transported empty and full, it's not mekabel tumah. It doesn't really serve in a true kli function. It's meant to remain in place. It's like a structure. So it's not mekabel tumah. It can't receive tumah upon itself. And also, v'choytis p'nei tumah, like in this case, it's going to block the tumah from spreading. It's like part of the wall. Rashi says we learn from a pasuk that kli eitz is connected to a sack, and a sack is something which you meant to transport, full or empty. So only that is makabel tumah. Only that's considered a true kli, a utensil. But something which is meant to remain in place doesn't have that halacha. So here's a perfect solution: block the entranceway with the Aron HaKodesh. This will prevent the tumah from spreading into the shul. Amrei le Rabban le Rava. Rabban responded to Rava, "What do you mean vahzimnin de metatlei At times we see that they move the Aron HaKadosh, Kimarach Sefer Torah Eluya, even when the Sefer Torah is inside. And if so, Vavli Matatla Malavarekin, it's something which is moved around full or empty. You can't block Tumah, it's not a structure, it's a Kli. It's a mobile Kli. Yachi, so you respond, if that's the case, if it is moved around, well, Yafshar, you're right, it cannot be used. Amar Mazutra, mit Pachis Sfarim Shebol. What about the material coverings of Sefer Torah, which wore out? And they're no longer functioning. What do you do with them? Oisin tachrichel meis mitzvah. So these are tashmishei kedusha, meant to be buried. What's the ideal way of burying these things? You turn them into tachrichel, into shrouds for a meis mitzvah, destitute meis, which we have to look after. That's the best way to bury them. Vizuhi gnizasim. That's the best way of doing gniza. Do a mitzvah during the gniza. That's the best thing you can do. Bama Rava, another halacha. Sevetar shebala. Let's say Sefer Torah wore out and it's no longer fit for use. Goinzen Oisei is a Talmud Chacham. You hide it, you bury it with a Talmud Chacham. Afilu Shein Halachas, even if he's not the greatest Talmud Chacham, a Baki B'Shas, if he just learns Halachas, Mishnah, Brises, that's enough. Omar B'Acha Bar Yaakov, but you shouldn't manually destroy the Sefer Torah. Place it in a Kli Cheres, Ube Kli Cheres, put it in a clay pot when you bury it. This way, it's not considered like you're destroying it directly. Shenemar and Satam Klicheres, Leman Yamdu Yom and Rabban, we find in Yermia, they tell them to put the document in the Klicheres. This way, it's protected for longevity. So here as well, don't destroy the Sefer Torah, although you're burying it near the Talmud Chacham, but protect it somewhat. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Rav Papi Mishmei the Rav. Mi Bei Knishta, Li Bei Rabban and Shari. Suppose they have a Beis HaKnesses, a Bei Knishta. They want to convert it into a Beit Rabban, into a Makom of learning, a Beis HaMedrash. Shari, that's allowed. So whether you're actually converting this Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedrash, or you're selling the Beis HaKnesses in order to purchase a Beis HaMedrash, that's considered an upgrade, and it's mutter. Torah stands higher than Tefillah, Talmud Torah connected Kulam, is considered Malin B'Kodesh. However, in the reverse, that's not allowed. Maybe Rabbanan to turn a Beis HaMedrash into a Beis HaKnesses, Lebei Knishta Aser, is considered a downgrade. Rapapa Mishmei de Rava, Masni Ifcha. Rapapa's version of Rava was the other way around, indicating that Beis HaKnesses stands higher than a Beis HaMedrash. Om Rav Acha, Kavasei de Rapapi Mustavra. It appears that the first version of Rava, the way Rapapi quotes Rava, which indicates that a Beis HaMedrash stands high, is the correct version. Why? Because Rav Shimon Levi concurs with that version. Domer Rav Shimon Levi, Beis HaKnesses, Mutar L'Asoyis Beis HaMedrash. Shmamina, he holds that he can turn a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedrash. And Asoyis points out, this is actually a machlokes between Rav Shimon Levi and Rav Yechanan. And when there is such a machlokes, we follow Rav Shimon Levi. And since he holds that a Beis HaMedrash stands higher, that appears to be the correct approach. You can turn a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedrash. It's considered an upgrade. Malin B'Kodesh. Okay, let's do a quick chazara of today's daf. Malin B'Kodesh, we learn from the fact that Bezalel made the Mishkan, but it was built by Moshe. Ve'ein Moiridin, the fact that they incorporated the machtos of Korach V'Adasa into the Mizbeach. So let's go up the ladder. Let's go up the pyramid here. We start from the Rechev Shalir, which according to Chacham actually doesn't have any Kedusha because it's just an occasional use. We go up to the Beis HaKnesses. And as the Gemara tells us, the Beis HaKnesses shall kracham, cannot be sold. You sell the Beis HaKnesses, you can go buy the Teva, that's the Aron HaKodesh, and up to the Mitpachis, the material encasing around the Sefer Torah. From there we go to Levi Meksuvim, and the top of the pyramid is the Sefer Torah itself. So you can always rise and go up, but not go down. We learned Machloek is regarding Yerushalayim, whether it was divided amongst the Shvatim or not. We know the Chiddush that the Zayin Tuvi Yair B'Mabad Anshe Yair can remove Kedusha from the Shul totally. When you sell the Beis HaKnesses itself loses its Kedusha. So one second, the Zayin Tuvi Yair, not only can the Beis HaKnesses lose its Kedusha, but even the money, right? That's the Chiddush. Even the money that they receive in exchange can now be directed and be used for anything. Now we learned that when you sell the Beis HaKnesses loses its Kedusha as well. That's only if it was exchanged or sold. But just loaned or rented, you don't really exchange it for anything. It retains its status. Regarding Matana of Machlekes, do we treat it like a sale or not? We proceeded the Halacha of Tashmisha. Tashmisha mitzvah on Nizrakin, Sukkah, Lulav, etc. Tashmisha Kedusha, when they are there to be machabe the item, not just shmira, they are nignozen. We have an example of the gnozen. You make tachrichen from the mitpachet, tachrichen from eis mitzvah. We learned about sefer Torah shebala. You hide it next to a, you bury it next to the Talmud Chacham in a kli cheres. And the conclusion was that a beis haknesses can be upgraded to a beis hamedrash, which stands higher than the beis haknesses. Haslacha rabba and b'suris tevis to you. All the best.